Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, I entitled this Fending Off Boredom and the Mundane. And one of the things that that we're all very much used to is the reality that life is not always glamorous. And that's not just a now thing, that's forever. Probably something like 70% of your life is not going to be lived up on the high mountain where everything's awesome and things are happening, the supernatural and everything's wild and awesome, nor down at the lowest valley where things are so bad and the ache is just so real because things are just so tough. The majority of your life is going to be spent in the other 70%. I made up the number, but that's probably not far off. You know, as one of the things that I get to have a little bit of a unique perspective on, and some of you have this to varying degrees, is I've been able to be like intimately involved in the lives of a lot of believers for a decade and more, to be able to see what life looked like, the ebbs and the flows. And so what I'm sharing, you know, on this particular point tonight, I'm not just referencing my own life. I could reference 20 lives of many of you in the room and others besides, that the majority of your existence as a Christian is lived in that bulk of that 70%, which is just like flatline. It's not super awesome. It's not super horrible. It's just kind of like boring. It's kind of mundane. It's the daily grind. It's just showing up at your regular job. It's coming home to your, you know, regular routines. It's, you know, there's nothing really tragic and nothing like really so sweet at home in your marriage or with your kids at the moment. There's just the baseline, and that's normal life. And we hate it. We despise it so much. We try to do everything we can to jumpstart that thing, to get out of the boredom, out of the mundane. We do everything. And I just tell you, I think it's good to do everything you can to keep your heart fiery, but I just want to encourage you to recognize this reality that it's not always going to be the spikes. The majority of life is show up, do your stuff, love Jesus. That's the majority. And you can better believe, you can count on it. You can count on it that there will be spikes, incredible breakthrough moments, and difficulties, tragedies even, in your life. Those are going to happen. But the majority is just figuring out how to be content in God, stay content in God, keep believing God when it's mundane. I'm just thinking about, you know, Lauren and Andrew in this series or in this situation, this story that he just got done telling. They just told you like 2.5 years, you know, 2.5, 3 years of just this journey. And it's like there was a high spike when they got the word. But for the last 2 years, most of that's just been like waiting on God. You know why there's so much in the word about those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength? Wait on the Lord. I say, wait on the Lord. All these passages, because the majority of your life is waiting on the Lord. The majority of your life is not the breakthrough moment. The majority of your life is not those moving to another city, those getting the promotion, those having the, you know, the crazy thing, having a ministry opportunity open up, having this, having that. That's not the majority. That's the super minority. The majority of life is living out today well the assignments you were given yesterday, a month ago, a year ago, 5 years ago. That's life. That's life. And we don't ever stop pressing in for the cool moment. And we don't ever delude ourselves to think that we don't have difficulties coming either. But the majority of life, it's just this even flow, it's just this coast. And what happens is, when nothing's happening super awesome or super negative, your emotions get bored. Your soul gets kind of restless. I mean, actually, when something super negative happens, endorphins and stuff kick in where you've got to fight. And there's like something in you that's fighting. And a lot of times those fights, many of you in this room can testify, I know I can too, a difficulty is what brought you to Jesus. A difficult season, a difficult moment, a moment of brokenness, a revelation, some sort of, or some super negative reality in your spirit, in your circumstances, is what spiked you into the very beginning of your walk in Christ. And when our emotions, because we were made emotional beings, when our emotions don't feel those highs and those lows, we kind of feel a little dead. We feel a little like asleep at the wheel in our lives. And I have no idea. Well, I mean, I have an idea. I just don't like it. I don't know why the Lord structured life this way. But the majority of your lives, it's like 70%. That's how it's going to be. So any of you are feeling that, which at any given point, a majority of any crowd would be feeling that, because most people are going to be somewhere in the 70% at the moment. You just got to figure out how to like make it through. You got to figure out, like, you don't want to be surprised by it. You want to just have this revelation that that's okay, that that's how the Lord organized it. That's how the Lord structured his kingdom. And here's my little, if I have a little insight into why, it's because the Lord loves perseverance more than he loves like almost anything. It's one of his favorite things. It's one of the main themes of the New Testament and Old, but way more in the New. And it's so difficult to persevere when you don't see an enemy in sight. You know, if you've got Goliath, at least you know who it is you're supposed to be cutting the head off of. You know, you see him and you're like, okay, that's the bad guy. That's what I'm up against. So if you've got a personal tragedy in your life, at least you know where to point the finger. It's like, okay, I've got to deal with this tragedy. I've got to overcome my emotions about this. I got to figure out how to fight through this. I got to get through this. But when boredom, when mundane, when just flatlining, when just the normal rolling on of life, the no ups and no downs, it's just kind of coasting. When that is your enemy, it's so difficult for us to believe that to war against. It's so difficult. And so we just start feeling like something's wrong with us. We start feeling like it's going to be this way forever. We just start feeling like, oh, I've lost my destiny. Somehow by following God into this situation, I've lost my destiny. I mean, we actually start to believe that. The enemy is so clever, right? That we could possibly lose our way in God by following God. You lose your way in God by redirecting yourself. That's how you lose your way. Not by following God. God loves these just flat lines. I don't even know how to describe it. These plateaus. You hit this plateau and it's like a long way across. A long, long way. And he loves it. It's like his favorite. And somehow we get into this like, I've missed God. I'm bored. I'm going to start looking at other things. I'm going to start trying to find another way out of this situation. Maybe I missed my calling. I need to find a new calling. We just get all this weird stuff instead of doing what the Bible says. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Oh, waiting. It's so important. It's such a big part of our walk in Christ. It's so big, and we try to do everything we can to wish it away. I just want to get to a point where I'm okay with waiting. Like, oh, I'm on one of those plateaus. It might be 70 years. I mean, just set yourself for the long haul and then be surprised when it's only, you know, like 3 years or something. You know, I mean, just get ready for the long haul. Just set yourself. That way you can handle it. You can weather it. I just have a few verses here that I just want to share. We want to have a vibrant relationship with the Lord, even when we don't feel vibrant. I want to throw away a little misconception. I don't think that the Lord is more excited about the front row worshiper who's jumping up and down going, I love you, Jesus, as opposed to the majority of the room that are tired and they were up all night because their kids were going crazy and they have difficulties and they're in the same worship environment going, ugh, God. I can't even get out the whole word, God. Ugh. It's like, I think we have this wrong idea that like exuberance and emotion and elation equals like the Lord seeing that as somehow more legitimate. Like the Lord's the one that created the spikes and the dips and the plateau. And so the majority of any group of people are going to be on that plateau where you don't feel like, ah, and you don't feel like, ugh. You just feel like, And finding God in the day in and day out. And just deciding, I'm okay. I love Jesus. And I'm gonna hold on to what I know I can hold on to, what I know is sure. If you seem to be stuck in a situation for a long time, if you followed the Lord into that situation, and even at this point, If you didn't follow the Lord into it and he hasn't made it clear that you're supposed to get out of it, just stay put there and trust the Lord that he'll get you off this plateau when he's good and ready. The last thing you want to do is go climb a mountain you're not supposed to be on. Or take a step off that plateau on the left side and find yourself in a valley that you did it to yourself. I mean, I know the Lord disciplines those he loves. I know that hardship awaits us. I know all that. I just don't want to get any more of it than I have to. I'd like to graduate and not step off any cliffs that God didn't push me off. I don't want any of them to be on my own decision. But I also don't want to climb up any mountains that I wasn't supposed to be on. I want to be right where he has me. Well, here's some thoughts. It's really just two or three. And then I'll read you some verses. How do we cope with that 70%? I'll tell you a really, really rich gift that God gave us, and that is our relationships. Our family, but this family. The richness of these relationships. I just think about it, and I'm like, man, we've experienced some difficulties and some boring times, but I mean, so long as I still get to hang out with you guys and see you and have you in my life and like, really relate to you and get to hang out and kid around on the bathroom break at the prayer room and you know, laugh at you when you're super late to your prayer meeting because, man, I was super late the other day. I mean, it's like, it's okay as long as we've got our relationships. But here's a tendency. When you find yourself on that plateau, everything loses its taste. Relationships start to, if you're not careful. The things that you used to find pleasure in the Lord seem to take less joy. And it takes some intentionality. It takes real intentionality. And I just want to say, particularly on this issue of relationships, isolation will kill you. I don't just mean isolation from the standpoint of not being around the people. I mean, that's obviously the first bad, don't do that. Like, don't give in the habit of being together. You know, don't do that. But even the isolation of being around each other but not sharing each other's lives. Yeah, I'm with you, you're with me. But you don't really know me and I don't really know you. We used to. We've got some equity in the past. But today, I'm telling you guys, you want to make it through the boring seasons. And we use that word boring like it's a bad word. God's the one that designed this whole 70% thing. Again, I made up the number, but whatever the number is, it's a big one. God's the one that designed it. He made the playbook. So this concept of the mundane and kind of the day-to-day rigor of life, God invented that. And in the midst of it, we need our relationships. I mean, we really need it. This idea of small groups, guys, it's a way to like force people to be your friend. You know, this is me as an only child who wanted friends trying to help you. Some of you need somebody to just force a few friends on you, work out some stuff in you, work out some stuff in them. You're together every week. You're building relationship. You're there. We need relationships in order to be able to weather it all. Like, it's so rich. I don't want to get through the plateau and have just been like barely making it through and not enjoying the relationships that the Lord put around me. I want to enjoy those relationships. It's such a spice of life. It's like such a joy. But it's easy especially when we feel distracted by just the mundane. It's like, man, what about the calling of God on my life? What about these things that he's spoken? What about these promises that I'm waiting on? What about these things I've been praying for forever? What about these things that I know he said he wants to do, but they just haven't happened yet? What about these desires in my heart that I want to see happen? It's so easy to waste your life. To waste it. And all the good stuff that's happening around you. To not be able to enjoy it. All the relationships, all the situations, all the sweet things that the Lord's doing, to despise them because they're not the mountaintop experience. Most of your life will not be mountaintop. We better figure out a way to have ourselves a happy little party on the plateau. I would so much rather be able to live in that 70% with a big smile on my face, enjoying life. Well, here's the second point, and it's really the big one. How do we cope with the mundane, with the boredom, the day-to-day? We believe the Bible, not our circumstances. You have so many lies all around you. This will last forever. You'll never get that job. That ministry that you want to do, you'll never get to do it. Your small group will never grow. The situation will always be this way. Those are lies. God will never reward you for this. There's so many of you in the room that you are waiting with eager expectation for the breakthrough of God in a number of areas in your life. And when you find yourself on that plateau, especially for a period of time, I'm not talking day one. Day one, you don't even know you're on it. You don't even know you're on that plateau until you've been there a year. And then you're like, oh, snap, I'm on a plateau. Well, just be glad you're already a year into it. Don't turn around. Just keep going. You'll eventually get to the edge of the thing. Believe the Bible, not your circumstances. Guys, the Bible tells you who you are. The Bible tells you what you can know for sure is coming in your life. The Bible is the plumb line. It's what got you saved. Why would we somehow believe the Bible for salvation, but not then believe the Bible for all the rest of our daily life experience? There is so much about the 70% plateau mundane that the Bible speaks really clearly about. The problem is we believe the lies way more than we believe the word. And so the thoughts that are in our mind, we don't even think to take them captive because we don't realize they're lies. So we just let them plague our mind. Well, it's always going to be like this. I better just give up. I'm going to die in this. This is so terrible. This isn't going to work out. I'm never going to. Those are lies. That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. Listen, I am still in a fight right now. I am not doing good. I'm just being honest. But I can tell you one thing I've got super clear. It will not be this way forever. And that gets me through. It's like, man, I got issues. I'm not doing what I want to do. It's that, you know, Romans 7 thing I find myself in. I'm like, dang, I'm a slacker right now. But at the same time, I have a resolve within me that I have no doubt in my mind, I am going to get through this. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to climb out of this. It's going to be all right. Because believing the word is to plumbline us so that we don't find ourselves going down the toilet bowl in the midst of the waiting. Keep seeking him. Don't cease your wholehearted pursuit. And every time you feel like you feel that wane, war against it as best you can. I have this running joke with Luke about whatever percentage he's currently able to, you know, give at the moment. That's the new 100%. About, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, 70% was the new 100%. As Luke was in some situations, I was like, bro, it's okay. Just your 70% is now your new 100%. I think it's now something like 12, you know, maybe 12% or something, 8%. He's not sure anymore. But whatever it is, that's the new 100%. Listen, the Lord is looking at percentages, not your output. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, if you had more strength yesterday and you have less strength today and you give him all, of course your output is going to be weaker. If you have less mental capacity today than you did a year ago, of course your loving the Lord with all your mind is going to look weaker. Of course. You're all your heart. What if you've been beat up and discouraged and all these things have not been working out? What if you're in that situation? Well, then to love him with all your heart, it's going to look less. The Lord cares nothing about the output. He looks at the heart. He's all into percentages. I started talking about all these percentages about 4 or 5 years ago because I got this revelation. The Lord cares so much more about percentages than he does the mountain of produce at the end of the deal. Whatever it is that you've produced, he cares so much more about, was it all your heart? I mean, just think about the widow with the 2 little copper coins. Like, that was nothing. And Jesus says, more than anybody. Well, she only had 2 copper coins, but she gave it all. All. So moms, you're like tired. You're like, I can't do it. I can't do like I used to do. Just give him your all today. And I know your all looks less, and that's okay. It's all right. And it's not even like a sad thing. Who did that to you? God. I mean, you could blame your husbands too, because I mean, you know, you had a baby. But it's like, you're like, God's the one that created this whole system. Just love him with your all. Love him with your all. So war against it. You find yourself, you know, waning or whatever. War against it. Lord, I want to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's great. And refuse offense. It will eat at you and drag you away from God. You know, I think right now, probably with a number of you, the greatest measure of offense that you are tempted with isn't even offense at a friend or your spouse, it's at God. for not doing the stuff. I just want to tell you, he'll do the stuff. It's just not time. And all the offense that you would have spent before he does the thing will have been wasted, because when he does the thing, you'll look back and go, oh, I guess I was offended for nothing. He's going to do the thing. He's going to do whatever it is he's told you. Don't let that offense grow in your heart. I was having a conversation with a friend Friday. They came over, and they were asking me about somebody who used to be a part of the community a long, long time ago when we first started. And they were like, hey, whatever happened to so-and-so? You know, they love Jesus so much. And this, I said, so they got offended and they left. And they told me following God is a baggage. It's a burden. Bondage was the word, bondage. They said, following God's bondage, I'll never do it again. Because they got offended and they let that offense grow in their heart. I mean, this was like, I mean, the reason that I'm telling you the story is because this guy is like, I remember that guy who used to be around. He was like so filled with life, loved Jesus so much. How's he doing? Oh. Offense will eat at you and it will drag you away from God. And the truth of the matter is, those 70% long plateaus will give you plenty of opportunity to be offended at God, because it hasn't happened yet. And God's perspective is, it's not time. Well, you think I did Genesis 1 and like I'd make a mistake with the timing of something big deal in your life? Like I could actually mess up the timing on that? Like, come on. But we do. We get offended, or we have the opportunity. Offense is knocking at the door constantly. I just want to read you a few verses. Hebrews 11:6. You know it, but I want to focus on the latter part. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that's really what we're talking about. Faith that God's going to get us through. Faith that he has purpose in the mundane. Faith that the mundane is good and it's still God's rich blessing on our life. Faith that God hasn't abandoned us. Faith that God will do what he said. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because now he's given the very, you know, essence of what faith is, how the makeup of it is. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Your circumstances are lying to you. Your Bible says he will reward you if you earnestly seek him. That's what your Bible says. Your Bible's true. It got you saved. The message of the gospel in the Bible is how you came to know the Lord. This passage is true. Your circumstances are lying. Your thought processes, the accusations in your heart, the longness of the season and the waiting, all of those accusations, they're lying to you. God rewards those who earnestly seek him. Just earnestly seek him and you're going to get rewarded. You'll get the stuff. The thing will happen. God will give you the breakthrough. I don't know timing. God doesn't want us to know timing. He says crazy things like, you know, 1,000 years is like a day. I mean, that's kind of a painful little perspective point. It's like, I don't know the timing. I get frustrated about that too, and I got to like come back down to earth and, you know, chill out. But the truth of the Bible is he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's the truth. 2 Corinthians 5:6-10 says, therefore, we are confident, and we know that as long as we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. For we live by faith and not by sight. We're confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. But we make it our goal to please him. Whatever the season, we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. I just don't want to show up and have to give an account about how I wasted all those 70% long plateaus where I did pretty good when things were terrible because I knew I got to get into like go mode. And I rejoiced pretty good on the climb to those mountaintops because I was so excited to not be in the, you know, plateau anymore. I don't want to just have that 30% to be rewarded for. In the midst of it all, we make it our goal to please him. We make it our goal to please him, for we're confident. He's watching and he knows us. We live by faith and not by sight. Listen, your circumstances are going to lie to you. Your emotions are going to lie to you. You have got to live by faith and not by what you see. You've got to rebuke what you see and go, that's not really who I am. That's not really what's going to be my future forever. This, I believe the Lord. I believe the Bible. The Bible says if I earnestly seek him, he'll reward me. I believe that. You got to put your perspective in place. And he's going to assess us, guys. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and each one of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, while in this life, while in those 70% long plateaus. What did you do? Did you just cry? Did you fight? Did you seek him? Did you give up? Oh, I want to figure out how to hold my heart right in those 70% plateaus. I'll tell you what. I've got a pretty good handle on it. It's taken me a while. I got a pretty good handle on it. The biggest deal is just keep believing the Bible. Always believe the Bible. And whenever you have those thoughts that are in accusation against what the Bible says is true, call that the devil, and that's your new fight. I will not believe that. I will not think that. I will not meditate on that. I will not allow that to have any place in my heart or my mind or my thought. I'm going to believe the Bible. And if you'll do that, you'll be able to weather it all. It doesn't mean your circumstances are always going to be awesome, but it does mean you're going to be okay on the inside. Like, you won't get derailed from your destiny. I want to give you just a couple of verses on faith for return in this life. You guys know these verses. I'm not preaching anything you don't know. I just felt tonight in worship, remind them. That's what I felt the Holy Spirit saying. Remind them. Luke 18, 29 through 30. Truly I tell you, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. I want to focus on in this age. A different message, we talk about eternal rewards. I want to talk to you about knowing that you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You will see the goodness of the Lord in the land. In this age, you will receive many times over that which you've given up, that which you've sacrificed, lifestyle choices that you've made for the Lord, changes, pursuits, desires, hobbies, things that you've had to give up, all that's many times more. So if you find yourself right now in a situation where you feel like you've given up much for the Lord and you don't feel like you've gotten much return yet, you have a lot of good news coming in your future because Jesus will not lie to you. And he says, in this age, many times as much in this age. Hold on to that. Would you just store a couple of these Bible verses like on your hard drive or your heart? And whenever you have one of those days where you're like, oh, I won't make it. This is so tough. This is dragging on. I'll never get that thing. This job stinks. I can't believe this. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever the difficulty, would you just quote some Bible at yourself and give yourself strength many times as much in this age? I'm going to see it in this age. Many of you are waiting on promises. Keep waiting. You will see them in this age. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. And let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Your work in the Lord. You know what? For some of you, your work in the Lord is coming to small group because you being there makes the small group better and everybody else likes it more. For some of you, your labor in the Lord is being mom. Labor. Labor. For some of you, it's being dad. It's maybe working that job you don't like. Labor in the Lord. You know what labor in the Lord means? It doesn't mean that you have to be a full-time minister at the house of prayer. Labor in the Lord means you're doing the assignment that God gave you. How could God mess up his kingdom? How could God like misplace a worker? I'm trying to build this kingdom, but I got all these workers down there just doing random tasks that have nothing to do with my kingdom. Man, I'm such a foolish manager of my people. This is crazy talk. The Lord doesn't mess up. He puts you where he puts you. Follow him and know that it's not in vain. Oh, I just feel like I do the same task every day when I show up. I just feel like I wash these dishes every single morning. I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. It's not in vain. Are you following the direction that the Lord gave? Just believe the Lord and don't believe your circumstances. Don't believe them. I'm not going to read it, but the passage of Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. Just think about this, guys. He says multiple times, says, you've been faithful with few things. Now I will give you many things. Faithful with little, you'll be faithful with much. The Lord is looking at your little. Guys, that's 70%. What that means is nothing cool happened this week. You showed up at your responsibilities. You did your stuff. You related well to your family as best as you could. You repented when you messed up. Nothing cool happened. Nothing super tragic happened. You got a little bit out of the word. Maybe you were trying to read it. You got maybe a little bit. It wasn't some mountaintop experience. You're just kind of like in it. Just little kisses. You had a couple of moments maybe where you were like, man, it's a nice day. Lord, thanks for the day. This is life, friends. Be faithful with your little, and you'll be faithful with much. Fight to have a vibrant heart in God, and don't determine your vibrancy, the measure of how like good you're doing, by how loud you're praising or jumping on the front row. Do it by how big your yes is in your weak little heart that is so much weaker than it was a decade ago, a year ago, whatever ago. It's so much weaker. Just say yes with all your heart.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.